Wednesday, May the 22nd, in the year of our Lord 2011, I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel. This is a call-in program, so if you'd like to call in, I'll give you the numbers. In St. Louis, it's 505-7850. Anywhere in North America, and by the way, this includes St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. I told you yesterday we were going to be talking about how to use the newspaper in order to understand law and gospel. There's one particular portion of the newsletter that we're going to be talking about, and I think you're going to be surprised when I mention it. But at this point, we're going to be taking a look at how to read the newspaper looking for law and gospel themes, helping you to understand two things. Number one, how people think today. And then number two, how God thinks. Because they are not often consistent. It just so happens I'm using the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on December the 12th. December the 15th, Thursday, on the opinion page. There was an article written about Gay and Proud. It was talking about Lucas Case. And he's a 24-year-old Branson man. And he's a Republican. But he says he's sick and tired of all the slurs. He sat through meetings in which gays were bashed and watched the party develop more and more anti-gay positions. And not long ago, he called the Post-Dispatch in order to help get his story out. He said, I think people should know that there are a lot of gay Republicans. It shouldn't be an issue. Well, we're going to take a look at this from a law and gospel perspective. I'm first of all going to summarize what this Lucas Case says. You know, that's like saying there's a lot of Republicans who are gay and it shouldn't be an issue. That's like saying there's a lot of Republicans who are child molesters and therefore it shouldn't be an issue. Now, you're comparing gay people to child molesters? If you listen to a broadcast I had last week, one of the points I was making is that the gay agenda is to get after your children. What? Well, just take a look at what's starting to happen in public schools, where the gay lifestyle is considered to be normal. And your children are learning about this. And I want to make a point here from a law gospel perspective. There's two reasons people sin. One, they're born with original sin with certain proclivities towards specific sins. That's part of our makeup. Now, sometimes these come about because of the environment or who knows what the reason is. For example, there are some people who have a temper and others don't. Why? Well, they were born with a proclivity towards a temper. That's called original sin. Some people, boy, they have a sin where they collect things and they can't get rid of anything, even when they should. And they end up living in conditions, I've seen these television programs, and I tell you, it can be really messy. Or somebody's got 20 cats in their house and never cleans up. Why? Well, because original sin leads us towards certain sins. And just because, for example, I may have a way of wanting to sin, I've always had a heavy foot. That means I always, when I was a kid, liked to go over the speed limit. I now, every car I buy has got cruise control on it, and I have to have a car that can cruise control even starting around 28 miles per hour, because I use cruise control even in the city. Now, do I still go over the speed limit? Sure, sometimes, because I'm late for KFUO and I know God will understand. Now, see, here I go again. So that's an area of a proclivity towards that particular sin. I have never had homosexual desires. Those who do, does that mean that's normal? No, it's part of original sin, just like child molestation is. So the first kind of sin that people do are those that they're kind of born with. It's inborn within them. And some people can do violence and it doesn't bother them. Other people can't do it at all. So these are part of original sin, and why God permits this sin to be in somebody, or at least the desire to do it and not in someone else. See, that's the first kind of sin I want to talk about, where you're kind of born with a habit towards those kinds of sins. The second kind of sin, and this is where the gay community is really trying to get to your children, is a sin that you're not really leaning towards because of your birth or original sin, but you can get tempted by it. In other words, there's no doubt some people become alcoholics because maybe their mother was, and whatever happened when they were born, conceived, they have a desire to do that, and it's really hard to break out of it. Others become alcoholics because, oh, maybe they have some bad experiences in their life, and they try and drown that in their drink, and pretty soon they become an alcoholic, and it goes from there. So very, very few people, and they've done surveys on this, less than 5% are people naturally homosexual. So the homosexual community has to try and get your children to start getting tempted in this area, because it therefore helps their cause. If they had 20 or 30% of people who had a homosexual experience, then it's kind of a self-defense mechanism that they're putting in place, that they don't think they're going to get as many people against them. So you need to understand, at least I certainly understand this, that much of the homosexual community thinks that this is normal. Many of them think that it's okay to marry another person of the same gender. And your children are being taught that. And even children who would not have a desire in this area can be tempted in this area. And therefore, that can be a real success for those who do that. Now, we've seen through history that once homosexuality, abortion, etc., and these immoral actions start becoming the norm in a country, it's not long that the country starts really losing its place in the world. And whether or not God's going to allow the United States to go on the way we are for 10 years, 20 years, 100 years, I have no idea. I mean, the Roman Empire lasted some time, the Greek Empire lasted some time, the British Empire lasted some time, and when you take a look, a lot of the times why they started to fail is because of the immorality that became the norm. And from a law gospel point of view, God doesn't fool around. His will is also for unbelievers. But the article goes on, and this is what I find so interesting, is that the individual we're talking about is Lucas Case, a so-called gay Republican, and he wants more gay Republicans to out themselves. Well, of course he does. Just like the man-boy relationships, that group would like more people to out themselves as child molesters so that they can become the norm again, like they were in Rome at the time of Jesus, for example. These are ways of just self-defending your position. So here's what Case says. People are just hypocrites. For example, he said he'd interact with other secretly gay Republicans. Then he'd watch and discuss as some of those same individuals would go to the floor to vote against legislation that would offer the same civil rights to gays that other Missourians have. Well, what other Missourians? You mean black people? Hispanic? White people? Do you notice there's a huge difference between giving rights to behavior that is an abomination before Almighty God and giving rights to people who, you can't help yourself, be black or white or Hispanic or German. So those people should have rights, but behavior, giving rights to abominable behavior that's bringing the country down. He's well aware, he says, of the backlash he's about to face. In fact, he's already seen hatred sent his way on Facebook and Twitter as he's been supporting proposals that keep the government out of people's personal lives, the very concept that led him to the Republican Party in the first place. Now, how do you understand that from a law and gospel perspective? See, it sounds really good. I joined the Republican Party because they wanted to keep government out of people's personal lives. Well, yes, if we're talking about people who are obeying the laws of God. But, for example, can you imagine a murderer writing, "Murder and Proud," and I joined the Republican Party because we need to keep government out of people's lives, and if I have a proclivity towards murdering people, why does the government get involved? Now, of course, the argument, the gays are going to say, well, no, he actually hurt somebody. The idea that the gay lifestyle isn't hurting others is beyond my imagination. We all know of people who are gay. And those who have come out of the closet, at least many that I know, have really hurt their families. Because this is a disgusting habit to have. This is something that should be repented of, not be proud of, from a law gospel point of view. Now, he says gay Republicans are good enough to hire, apparently just as long as they stay quiet in the back of the campaign bus, he says. Well, the fact of the matter is, we're not talking about somebody who doesn't want to flaunt his sexuality. For example, I'm sure that I worked with many of people who were adulterers and maybe even homosexuals. Yes, you still hire those people because that's the law of the land. Unless you're dealing with something of a religious nature where, for example, a radio station obviously isn't going to hire speakers who speak out against the religious position of the radio station, which we are of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now, what I have noticed with the Post-Dispatch is, though they tend to have a very liberal editorials, if somebody stands up to them, they often will put in a correction, or they'll allow them to put their letters from the readers. I always enjoy letters from the readers in the Post, because they want to try and be as balanced and fair. Well, it just so happens in the article that Lucas Case wrote, he actually attacked Republicans and specific ones. So, and I really appreciate the Post-Dispatch, December the 15th was the original article. On December the 20th, there was a Samantha Hill who defended the Republicans with a subtitle in the paper, "Upholding one's stated personal convictions is not hypocritical behavior." Now, we've already seen how God doesn't think with the first article. I found this second article quite refreshing, surprisingly in the Post-Dispatch, but it also gives all of us some words to say to gays who are trying to make us sound like we're hypocritical or put us on the defensive. And here's just some of the things that she says. Hypocrite is an easy term to throw around. And she mentions the Lucas Case article. And she said, it left me with two simple questions for him. What did we do to you? And who do you think you are? I think what I am finding is conservatives who believe in God's word are no longer just sitting back and taking all this nonsense that you read about in certain areas or even listen to on television. They're starting to fight back. And I believe that Samantha Hill does a wonderful job. She continues, yes, I'm one of the horrible Republicans whom he uses a reporter to lash out against. She even talks about that she had considered him, Lucas, her friend. I've known for a long time that Lucas is gay, and never once have I expressed disapproval of any kind to or about him regarding that lifestyle choice. Now, I want you to be real careful in what you're hearing here. She's not saying that she doesn't disapprove. She just hasn't mentioned to him that specifically. To say, as Lucas is quoted in the piece, as saying that people are just hypocrites is a gross misrepresentation of the problem. What Lucas and others like him are asking Republicans to do is be hypocritical. They are asking that individuals quit living, speaking, and acting their convictions and beliefs. That is an excellent point. The gay lobby, the abortion lobby, the evolution lobby, they really want to shut us up. And they want to call us hypocritical because we take a stand in regard to God's word, which we believe, but they think is mean or something along that line. She says, now listen to this. This is a great article. If you're talking to a gay person, is why you think their lifestyle is an abomination. If I disapprove of anyone's lifestyle choice, and we do all disapprove of some, it is the height of hypocrisy for me to pretend that I approve. The way we do that theologically is truth has been replaced with tolerance. I get a lot of emails from laymen who cannot understand why their pastors do not speak out against abortion, homosexuality, and when they talk to the pastor doesn't want to divide the congregation. That is so sad. Jesus divided his own hometown because he was not tolerant of their unbelieving attitude and behavior. He was truth itself. She goes on, what is even more disturbing is that Lucas felt it necessary to use a major newspaper and political reporter as a soapbox to trumpet his private sexual practices to the world. That is a really good statement. And you need to be aware that unrepentant sinners is just a self-defense mechanism. They have to get more people on their side, and they have to make you feel embarrassed so you shut up. This is their goal. Now, am I saying all gay people are like that? No, of course not. But the gay lobby is. And the more children that they can get to be in gay relationships, the better they're going to think that their product is being won over. She continues, if you are entirely comfortable with who you are as a person, you don't need to get the whole world's approval. See, that's really a good point. And it's a point I made about a month ago, that as more and more gays come out, there are going to be more and more suicides of gays. For a very, very simple reason. Once you get out and you recognize that people think less of you because you are unrepentant, and people do. I mean, just take a look at court cases where somebody murders somebody and they're totally unrepentant. We may still love that person. We may still try to bring the law and gospel message to prison to them, but we certainly don't want them going out with our daughter. We think less of them as a human being because they are now using what is a unrepentant sin and trying to get everybody to okay it. She continues with her article. Don't people come out of the closet every day somewhere, somehow? Don't some of them suffer a great deal more hardship at the hands of their family, friends, and associates than Lucas has faced or ever will face? Especially considering the heartache that many gays go through around the holidays because of rejection and estrangement from their families, it seems pretty narcissistic for a successful, accepted young professional now in the entertainment industry to have a pity party and expect to be taken seriously. I find this attitude, the pity party and the narcissism, as well as the attack against Bible-believing Christians, and not only in the gay community, not only in the abortion community, but also in the evolution community. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, everybody knows that evolution is scientific and creation is not. I mean, the death of writer Christopher Hitchens brought out a lot of people who thought he was wonderful. But he spoke like this. He was an atheist. And he may have had a great mind, but boy, was he ever messed up when it came to reality from God's point of view. And many people try to speak to him to straighten him out, but who knows what happens to him. The conclusion by Samantha Hill, and this is why you need to read these articles, because, sure, you hear the one part of how narcissistic, unrepentant people think, and you need to understand how they're thinking so that when you talk with them and hopefully get them to repent of their sin, you may be able to find the words to use it. And Samantha Hill does some wonderful words here in things that I'm going to be using when I talk to gay people who think that I'm evil or I'm hypocritical. She writes, "I respectfully submit that as individual Republicans and sometimes colleagues of Lucas Cases, and as a party that makes no bones in our platform about the beliefs that we have long held, we do not deserve the smack in the face that was directed our way by the Post-Dispatch." I give credit to the Post-Dispatch for putting this article in, because it rightly criticizes the Post-Dispatch for the kind of thing that they had allowed Lucas to say. The last paragraph. "We simply are living out our convictions and choices, just as Lucas is choosing to live out his. That's American. It's not wrong, it's not hateful, and it's certainly not hypocritical." By the way, Samantha Hill was the political director for Vicky Hartzler, Republican of Harrisonville, during the 2010 campaign. Just so everything is up and right. This is why you need to read the newspaper. Now, I'm going to say something you may laugh at. I don't normally read the newspaper, but my wife Louise does a wonderful job of giving me the article she knows that would be helpful for KFUO or for other reasons. So I really get quite a few things. But when we get back from the break, well, the point I want to make, first of all, is, therefore, if you see an article that is really attacking Christianity, look at the next letters to the editors, because at least our Post-Dispatch kind of comes around and does things to kind of help us through this. And it's just going to be kind of interesting what's going to be happening. But I'll tell you the other part I love looking at from a law gospel perspective. You're going to laugh when you hear this. It's a lot lighter than the first part of the program. I think that the comic section of a newspaper, where the comics are, really provide great law and gospel discussion with your friends. And we're going to just point out a few of them when we get back from the break. By the way, if you want to talk about the first part of the program, 505-7850, you can call me during the break, or 1-800-730-2727. And especially if you're of a gay person and would like to discuss this with me, I'd be more than happy. And if you really need some help, we've got places. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is well-versed in helping individuals get out of that lifestyle, and we'll be only too happy to help you with that also. Numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to KFUO, a ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we'll look forward to talking with you when we get back from the break.
Sued for telling the truth.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In 2010, Congressman Steve Driehaus of Ohio made the mistake of voting for Obamacare. Like many of his colleagues, he was voted out of office soon thereafter. However, Congressman Driehaus blamed the Susan B. Anthony List for his defeat and is suing the organization. He said the Susan B. Anthony List lied when it said on a billboard that he voted for taxpayer-funded abortions. However, it has been well documented that the Obama health care bill essentially nullifies the Hyde Amendment and provides the means for taxpayer money to fund abortions. We will keep you up to date on this court battle.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
You can provide for the people you love and the ministries you care about, including KFUO Radio, through a charitable estate plan. By establishing a charitable annuity, trust, or other planned giving instrument, you and your spouse may enjoy cash payments for life and at the same time leave a legacy gift for KFUO Radio. Contact our gift planning specialist to learn more.
Call Joan Harwell at 800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is Pastor Michael Kumm, Interim General Manager of KFUO. These words from the prophet Isaiah remind us clearly why we prepare in Advent for the joyous celebration at Christmas. God our Father sends us Jesus, the one who saves. All of us at KFUO pray that your Advent and Christmas season are focused on the one thing needful, Jesus Christ.
Next to the Word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. Martin Luther said that, and we believe it. That's why we're presenting those great musical treasures online at classic99.com. Why don't you check us out? classic99.com, classical music and sacred classics 24 hours a day. A ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
You can provide for the people you love and the ministries you care about, including KFUO Radio, through a charitable estate plan. By establishing a charitable annuity, trust, or other planned giving instrument, you and your spouse may enjoy cash payments for life and at the same time leave a legacy gift for KFUO Radio. Contact our gift planning specialist to learn more.
Call Joan Harwell at 800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524.
So you think you're having a bad day? I'm John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. Johnny Erickson Tata has been confined to a wheelchair for more than 40 years, but she has a wonderful perspective on life and says bad days are the best days for you to rely on God.
There are mornings I wake up, and after so many years of paralysis, my thin, porous, osteoporotic bones are aching, and I deal with chronic pain, and sometimes I wake up and I feel like I'm that kid back in the hospital. God, I can't do this. I have no strength for it, but I can do all things through you as you strengthen me. And, oh, what a great way to wake up, boasting in your affliction and letting it drive you into the arms of Jesus.
A great reminder that you can call on God for help, no matter what challenge you're facing today, and claim His promises in the Scriptures. For more trusted advice and encouragement for your journey, stop by focusonthefamily.com/faith.
Tom Baker back here on Law and Gospel as we're examining newspapers from a law and gospel perspective. In the first part of the hour, we discussed a editorial about Lucas Case, who is a gay Republican, and then a response to that by Samantha Hill. Yes, okay, if you would like to have a copy of this, I'll send it in the mail to you. What you need to do is to email me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com, lawgospel@lawgospel.com, or what you can do is phone me and leave a message on our 800 number for Concordia Missionary Society. It's 1-877-267-1962. And ask to have a copy of the gay editorials. And I'll be only too glad to send them to you. We're going to be taking a look now at cartoons, but before we get into cartoons, we do have a caller on, so let's go speak with Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi. I just want to make a quick comment. I thought that was a really excellent article that a woman wrote.
Yes.
I wish you would see more of those. You actually do see them on blogs and things when people respond to articles on a lot of Christian websites. The point I was going to make is that I think the thing that people really need to say, and they need to say a lot more often in cases like this, is that there's a difference between tolerance and acceptance. Tolerance means by the law. For instance, you're talking about as yourself as an employer, you, in certain cases, you'd have to hire someone who you completely disagreed with because that was a law.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, that's not saying that you agree with what their position is, that you need to endorse it. And that line from between tolerance and acceptance, where you go from tolerating something to endorsing it, crossed all the time now.
Yeah, in fact, my point would be, if you would ask most people in the United States, give me a synonym for if you tolerate something, it means you, they're going to say, that means I accept it.
Right.
So if you've already got those two as synonyms, it's going to be really hard to change the language. And I think I made it pretty clear in the context that what this gay individual wanted to do is be accepted. He just didn't want to be tolerated in the legal sense of the term.
Yeah, exactly.
For example, even as a Christian, I don't think we should tolerate gay marriage between people of the same gender.
No, not as a church. But I'm just talking about when you're dealing with legalities having to do with the state. The state is going to do things the way it's going to do them, and you know, then you do things the way you want to do them. But the endorsement aspect, I'm talking about where, for instance, these gay groups go into companies and they have to have seminars to teach people how to accept gay lifestyle and gay,
yes,
gay that. That's not tolerance. That's acceptance. That's endorsement.
Yes, exactly. In fact, one of the questions we're going to be getting around to one of these days on ruminations is what happens when you're in a business where they're telling you you have to accept this kind of behavior, etc. It's going to be a really interesting conversation with the pastors, but that's one of the questions we've got lined up down the line a bit.
Great. I'm really looking forward to hearing that. Last thing I'll say is that I think that more people do express themselves like that woman did. I think the more people will be able to understand where they stand and be able to stand, you know, as who they are.
Yes, and the idea that the gay lifestyle is equivalent to being black, and therefore they should have the same rights,
right.
You know, I mean, behavior is one thing, and we all know that there are child molesters, the Man-Boy Association, that's trying to get that legalized too.
Right. They march in all those gay rights parades in Washington. They did when I was there.
Really?
Yeah. You know, that's one thing they don't like to talk about, and they never show them on TV, but those groups do gravitate towards those types
of... What I'm finding, Brian, and correct me if you think I'm wrong here, is that a lot of the gay individuals, as they write, they're really going after our kids.
They are.
And that's called child molestation from a spiritual point of view.
Right. Because they're trying, they're in California doing the public schools. They're,
yep,
forcing people to, you know, again, endorsing and accepting that they have to say this is right. And they don't do that with anything else.
You know, I'm amazed when I was at my church, it was about 6 years ago, 8 years ago, our sign is a double sign. You go down the road one way, you see one, and then you come the other way. It's a different sign. And I always have a law gospel point of view on it. And here's what I had one. Was up for a whole month. It said, repentant homosexuals go to heaven. And the other side said, unrepentant homosexuals go to hell. And as I sit back here, it's a wonder that thing wasn't stoned.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it stayed up unmolested.
Yes, you know. But well, we're in a very tolerating neighborhood. We were in University City, you know.
That's good. I just wanted to, the last thing I wanted to say was this whole idea of this being something that you're born with also really has not been scientifically proven. I mean, I don't understand how, if you're dealing with people who can't reproduce biologically, how you pass on a gene.
The other thing, and there are tremendous things coming out right now. For example, identical twins, there are a number of them where one of them becomes homosexual, the other one doesn't.
Right.
And remember, they have this...
Actually, there was a study that was conducted by a scientist who was gay.
Yes.
Who was trying to find a gay gene.
Yeah, remember, the identical twins have the same DNA.
Right.
You know, in fact, I saw a wonderful movie once. You know, where they did a murder, but they couldn't figure out which one had done it. You know, it was really kind of interesting. You know, another phrase that gets me burned up along with tolerate is, I respect your point of view. When I say that to somebody, that means I agree with your point of view. But that's not really what it normally meant, did it?
No.
Well, what do we mean when we say to somebody where he says, you know, I feel very strongly that I need to pray to the Virgin Mary instead of Jesus, and I look at him and say, I respect your point of view. What am I saying when I say that?
It's like that other expression where they say, I hear you, which means that I understand what you're saying, but you're not agreeing with what they're saying at all. It's just it's a way of kind of putting people off.
Yeah, I just saw a movie where this woman is kind of falling in love with her stepbrother. They're not related. He was adopted. And she finally looks at him and says, you know, I really love you. And he looks at her and says, I love you too. But the difference is she was really saying, I'm falling in love with you. And he didn't read it that way, of course. He just read it as a sibling kind of love between a brother and a sister.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate byproduct of our culture now that people don't take time to think or speak.
Yes.
And we use an awful lot of slogans, which are, you know, shortchanged thoughts so that people don't really have to think about what they're saying.
Good point. Well, I sure appreciate the call. I'm going to get over to the cartoons now.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, thanks much. And that was Brian. Yeah, let me do some cartoons here, and I tell you, you get newspapers with full page of cartoons. It doesn't take long before you see how law and gospel can be used, and these cartoons can be like put into a sermon or a Bible class. This one is from Deflocked, which is kind of interesting. They're animals, and this one animal, a sheep. He's coming up to his three friends, a mouse, a dog, and it looks like a bull. Oh, look, why don't you guys just sign these affidavits to Santa Claus, confirming that I was a good boy this year, and we can end this meeting. So they all sign affidavits that he was a good boy, and he says, aha, thanks. Now I'm going to be swimming in gifts come Christmas morning. And then the next panel is Santa Claus reading this. These are all signed by, and then he says the name. He says, I know I should have paid now for a notary on each one. Because he's got all these letters coming in. Now, what's the law gospel thing here? Did you hear what he says? Sign these affidavits to Santa, confirming that I was a good boy this year. So, this is how people really talk about Santa Claus. I mean, there's poems like this. Remember, if you're nice, if you're not nice. I remember, if you're not nice, you got coal. And if you're nice, you got a nice present. And I never really understood that, because at the time, I was living in a house where we heated our furnace with coal. So I thought it was a pretty good gift, but obviously not so. I'm going to do one more here, and then we're going to go back to the phone lines in a second. This one here... is Pearls Before Swine. That's the title, by Stephen Pastis. It says there's a kind of a dog and a pig. Hey, pig, what do you need? I'm the tapping pig. I go door-to-door tapping, dancing for people, and then keep track of whether or not they liked it. So far, everyone's loved it. Listen, I haven't had a chance to talk to you, but I got some bad news last night. My cousin was eaten by lions, and when they were done, they ate my Uncle Steve, then his brother Pete. A whole family wiped out by a group of heartless, insatiable predators. When does it end? When does the mindless violence and suffering of this world end? And the next panel, you've got the guy tap dancing. And the final panel, you have the fellow who's got all these problems just putting his hands over his eyes saying, this isn't going to work. And in the last panel, the tap dancer says, not a fan. You know, how many times do we try and calm people's worries by tap dancing, rather than the only message that can really give comfort to a person, and that's the message of Jesus Christ? Getting back to the gay situation, how many homosexuals are hearing from psychologists that you shouldn't feel bad, it's just the problem with other people who don't like your lifestyle, but you should be proud of it, and don't listen to them? What these psychologists don't understand is that God has placed in every one of us a kind of a guilt factor. And you can listen to psychologists all day, and that's not going to change the guilt factor. Our numbers here are 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Phil. Hi, Phil.
How you doing?
Very good.
My wife showed me something. She taped the Ellen DeGeneres show. It had Brad Pitt on there, and she asked Brad when he was going to marry Angelina Jolie, and he said he looked at the camera and looked out at the audience and says, when everybody in America can get married, you know, I'll get married. For one, I think that wasn't quite true. He just did that for a show. I mean, yeah. You know, him and her both seem to be scared of marriage. But for another, I mean, what good would that do? Whether he gets married or not, I mean, you know, it really doesn't make any difference. You know, he was just making a show of a statement there.
Now, see, you know what my reply to that would have been? Oh, so you don't have a problem with a father marrying his daughter?
Yeah.
You see, there's something about these people who are against the will of God that they never can be consistent. They always have to be inconsistent. So they make these mindless general statements, and somebody trained in theology can come right back and put them in their place. Because what they're saying is really quite ridiculous. If we think like God, I mean, I don't think any of us will ever get to the level that Jesus was so quick with the questions that they slammed against him. The Sadducees about life after death, or the Pharisees about, you know, paying tax to Caesar and all this. But the more you listen and read good theology and listen to pastors, the more even laity can be equipped in coming back in ways where, as soon as you said what Brad said, and I don't watch that show, so I didn't see it, but it's just such a foolish statement. As well as the fact he's just not ready for marriage.
That's right.
You know.
I like what you said, though, mindless. And it really is, because they really didn't put much thought into it, you know.
No. When you're trying to defend your abominable behavior of living with a woman outside of marriage, you know, what is wrong with these guys? Don't they realize that from our point of view, a woman living with a guy outside of marriage is a prostitute?
Yeah, I guess so. And then the children, too. I mean, it's, you know.
Oh, there's no love there at all, because love means... True love isn't just that you have an affection for somebody, but you're willing to give up all of your feelings and your goals, and as Jesus did, die for the woman. So why would you put your girlfriend in such a position when so many people, when we hear, oh yeah, I'm just living with my boyfriend, what is wrong with you? Don't you have any self-respect? It's just... But we're living in a culture where that almost has become the norm.
Yes, you're right. No more shame and embarrassment of well, for instance, if there was Mary today, you know, having a baby outside of wedlock, you know, people wouldn't even think about stoning her or yelling at her or anything.
Yes.
Yeah,
on the other hand, I remember I had a couple of members during my time at St. James where they got pregnant out of wedlock. And they decided to keep the baby and baptize it. And I was, I really appreciated that point of view.
Yes.
You know, all of us sin. What counts from God's point of view is how do we respond to it after we've done it? Do we, try and kill the baby so we don't have a bad reputation? Or are we willing, you know, to sacrifice ourselves in order for that baby in that particular situation? And every one of us go through those things where how you respond to when you're caught in sin tells a lot about the character of a person.
Yeah, like David, he was quick to repent. But thank you for your show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks very much, and we'll keep in touch, Phil. God bless. We're taking a look at cartoons. Cartoons, yeah, like in the newspaper. You know, things where, from a law gospel point of view. Let's go to another one right now. We've already done the one on Deflocked. So, man and a woman are sitting in a chair reading. I'm so discouraged by all the celebrity splits, says the woman. Then she looks at her husband. If they can't make it with all their looks, power, and money, what hope do we have? Wow. That's a great sermon starter. How so? Because look at what she's looking for hope. Looks, power, and money. Let's replace that with the only way a marriage stays together properly is Christ. With Christ at the center of a marriage, oh man, so many mistakes can be made but are forgiven. I don't think anybody who's married doesn't regret times when things were said or done in that marriage. But the fact that in Christ, folks can come back together, that I don't know how people outside of Christ do that. Well, I know how they do it, of course. They do it out of a selfish reason. If you have a God that's not Jesus, but he's against, you know, divorce and stuff like that, you'll stay married. It just to justify yourself. We get a lot of American Christianity in comics. What was I listening to? It was some kind of talk show. And the person, they were talking about Christmas. And they were all looking forward to Christmas. And one of them said, I sure hope it snows on Christmas. You know, I don't know. There's just something about snow on Christmas that brings back a lot of memories. Because there was a lot more snow, you know, years ago in some places where it doesn't come down as much. I remember when we first moved to St. Louis. Boy, I even bought a truck with a plow on the front. But the last year I had it, I only went out twice during the whole winter. Whereas when I, you know, early in St. Louis, boy, you could go out a lot. Well, this is the family circus. And a mother and a boy are walking out of the house and it's snowing. And the little boy says, yes, my praying worked. Now, that's another great Bible study. You go out and you see the evidence for your prayer. You know what's so bad about that? And maybe that's, maybe the person who does, Bill Keene, does Family Circus, recognizes that that is really tongue-in-cheek. It puts prayer on such a superficial level that your prayer only works if it's answered the way you want. See, that's not how God thinks at all. When you pray, your prayer is answered immediately by God with a very, very clear answer. The obvious ones are yes, no, or wait. But the one I like is, because you pray in the name of Jesus and ask that His will be done for things that He hasn't promised, then God always answers yes to your prayer. There's never a time when He doesn't. I've talked about Everybody Loves Raymond, how much I love that show, because the old Adam comes out all the time in Everybody Loves Raymond. Dagwood, or called Blondie, that also occurs a number of times. Postman comes up to the door, and there's Dagwood with his dog getting ready to get the mail. Postman says, "I've noticed you haven't received any postcards lately." Dagwood, "Isn't there a law against reading private mail?" Mailman, "I was just curious because I noticed Herb Woodley's nephew has been sending him postcards from Italy." Last frame, Dagwood, "So, what did he say?" That's really good. On the one hand, Dagwood says there's a law against reading private mail. But once he hears about that, he wants to know also. You know, that's called hypocrite. That's a true hypocrite. Where on the one hand, where we make fun of those who do certain things, and then we turn right around and we do them also. And don't think anything of it. Don't think anything of it. This one here, the last one I'm going to do today, I only got 2 minutes. A son is eating at the kitchen table, looks like cereal, and the mother is standing there with milk. And the son, "What's today, Thursday or something?" Mother, "No, honey, today is Monday." Son, "Well, how am I supposed to know? My phone is dead." Mother, "Where's your charger?" Son, "If I knew that, then my phone wouldn't be dead now, would it?" Mother, "Jeremy, I'm just trying to help. I'm just trying to help. Is it too much to expect reasonable, polite responses from you?" Son, "No, Mom." Mother, "Thank you." Son, "But since my reasonably polite responses app is on my phone, you're stuck with whatever I come up with on my own." Mother, "I'm going to look for that charger." What is so beautiful about this? I just read an article how so many people now are on Twitter, Facebook, etc. And I'm going to talk about this at length probably Friday. It was just a great article. What it's talking about is the following. That the more people you have as friends on Facebook, the less relationships you have. Isn't that interesting? The more people you have on Facebook, the less relationships you have with real people. Now, what is meant by that? The fact is, there was one girl who had 5,000 plus people on Facebook, but she only knows a handful of them intimately. You see, this is where the church has a real opportunity. Here's Jeremy, and he can't do anything without his phone. We'll talk about more about this tomorrow. Ruminations. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.